CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 200 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection,
the
worldwide leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Get your clothes and get out.
I'm gone.
Are you balding, old, complaining about eating like a fat ass, and unable to breathe after a quickie? If you said yes to any of those things, then you need the newest product endorsed by one of wrestling's biggest names ever. From the makers of Hulk Hogan's Chewable Vitamins comes Hulk Hogan's Chewable Stiffy Pills. They're Hulkster approved, so you can get back on your groove. One red and yellow pill, and you'll be giving that special someone a thrill. Before long, you won't be keeping your light on while your partner plays with your 26-inch python.
Let's do it. I want to show you a few things. I am the real Hulk. I've been training for a year, and now I think I'm bigger than you are. My head was huge, all right. Do you want to dance with a nature boy? Oh! Oh, yeah. Who makes the spectrum rock and roll better than anybody?
Hulk Hogan's Chewable Stiffy Pills. Available at Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop in Clearwater, Florida, and wherever else the Hulkster hawks overpriced merchandise. Hulk Hogan's Chewable Stiffy Pills. What you gonna do when boner mania goes wild on you, brother?
Brain Bleach! Damn it, Jim, I am a wrestling commentator, not... I'm going to get him back for that. I will get him back for that.
He's a new porno king.
Damn it, boss. Composure. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and if there is anybody still listening after that, thank you. So let's take a look around the table here. First, finally back on the interwebs, all the way on the other side of the planet, Mr. Shane Beeman.
Oh, good day. Finally back.
Let's see, and hiding in the hills of Louisville, Kentucky, Mr. Tyler Brown.
As the financial advisor to the North American Wrestling Connection, I'd like to say that we're apparently out of budget for the next 5 years. We had to order a tanker truck of brain bleach this week. Sorry about that.
Which means I'm not getting a raise either. And way the heck up in the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
Which guy is going to see the TLC pay-per-view at the new Barclays Center? This guy, right here. So I am going to be celebrating the holidays in the brand new Barclays Center Arena.
And where are your seats, sir?
My seats, I will tell you, I think we're just right off the floor, which I think are pretty good. Section 13, row 18, seats 1 and 2.
Excellent.
Those were 81. The ringside seats, by the way, were $480.
For a non-Big Four.
Yes, for a non-Big Four in the Barclays. No, my father just looked at me and said, "You didn't buy those seats." I said, "No, it was $81 seats," which is not bad.
Damn no, you, JT. Not...
For the TLC pay-per-view, December 16th at the Barclays Center. But, yeah, so I'm going. So it's pretty cool.
Excellent. Congratulations.
And by the way, do you know what one match might be on that show?
What do you got?
There is rumor that CM Punk versus Mick Foley might be on that show.
Ooh.
There, you know, again, lots of things that they're throwing up against the wall. They've got 2 months to plan for it anyway, so.
And they're throwing all kinds of crazy stuff out there when it comes to Mania, but I'm not going to speculate on the stuff that I've seen for WrestleMania 30. That's just too far away. We're still trying to figure out what's going to happen next week, especially with the disaster that happened this week. In the sense that they were hoping that JR Appreciation Night would actually draw some ratings. Well, the JR Appreciation segment did draw the best ratings. Unfortunately, those ratings came out to 2.5. When you have a segment, say, with Kofi Kingston's match with Alberto Del Rio pulling a 2.29, did I see that right? Yeah, 2.29, which I'm not sure. I'd like to blame Del Rio for that, although he showed a lot more character Friday night. I can't. I don't know what's going on. Tyler, help me out here. Why are we losing people?
Well, I think one of the things is it's the oldest rule in the book. Every time JR is in Oklahoma, he gets embarrassed, he gets demeaned. We all know that's going to happen. We all know there's never going to be a JR Appreciation Night that won't go off without JR being embarrassed or made a fool of or that sort of thing. So that's probably part of it because, you know, over the years, every time you hear JR Appreciation Night, it's JR Gets Embarrassed Night. Apparently, after the show, they did do an appreciation, but of course, it was non-televised. It's on WWE.com. Other than that, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Maybe just some people are getting tired of the same old thing. Maybe it's just, I don't know. Maybe that's why we have news of a special appearance of a certain guy with the biggest grapefruits in the business.
I'll get to that. Shane, I'm gonna say this: the JR Appreciation segment wasn't as bad as what we've seen in prior years, and you know, it was actually used to advance storylines. In the case of CM Punk having to duck Ryback again, so at least they're backing off a little bit on JR, right?
Yeah, it seems like they're actually going with a respectful thing for JR now. Tyler said, if you watch the exclusives, actually, because Vince McMahon would never admit this on live air, but of course Vince came out and said that nobody respects JR more than him. Insert joke here. But said actually he respects JR's work because everyone knows him as good old JR in the back. Behind the commentator desk, but he knows him as Jim Ross, probably one of the most hardest working executives that he has at WWE. So, yeah, turning point for Jim Ross, but as for WWE, well, it looks like they're going backwards.
And some people, Jason, are saying that the WWE is pressing the panic button, which is why we're getting Vince McMahon with the State of the WWE address next week. John Cena dropping by with still having the bad wing, and maybe a couple of other things just to see if they can poke a rating.
Well, okay. It's not, I don't think it's the WWE's fault. I think there are two main reasons why this is happening. One, what did we say about summer ideas against non-real programming?
What do you mean?
You don't do summer stuff in the fall.
Okay.
In other words, the three-hour experiment is an absolute failure. When you lose half of your audience in 3 months, it's a failure. Okay. And number two, it's the NFL season, and the NFL, rightly or wrongly, is catching amazing numbers. And the other thing is that you have new television shows that are on in the fall. People are loyal to them.
And the fact that in this particular week, even though the game wasn't all that great, you had two major markets with Dallas and Chicago. So even if the game sucked, I don't know if anybody was willing to flip away to come back to come back to Raw to see what was going on, or just continue to watch the carnage that was going on ABC. I mean ESPN. Wait a minute. Who has Monday Night Football now? ESPN?
ESPN. You had it right. Yep.
Thank you. So it just, you know, unfortunately, the intrigue that, you know, that I've got with Punk and Ryback obviously is not going to carry a three-hour show. The tag team tournament, they're deliberately spreading out to try to pull viewers not only to Raw, but to SmackDown and to their new show main event, which I'll get to in just a moment, so they can't use that to carry the show. The women's division, I think we've beaten that up pretty good. That's not going to carry a show, so what do you have left?
Absolutely nothing.
So
maybe the wrestling?
Well, there we go. But here's the problem. As I mentioned, one of the lowest rated segments of the night was Kofi Kingston versus Alberto Del Rio, which wasn't a bad match. So why'd everybody leave?
Shrug.
Because, well, let's just face facts. No one really cares about Kofi Kingston anymore. I mean, he's doing his thing with R-Truth, and Alberto Del Rio, well, he hasn't done anything significant since last year, so.
Well, I mean, that, and you also, sorry if I interrupted, but I was thinking.
No, go ahead.
If maybe just some people are getting tired of the social media shit. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to watch a match without hearing tout, hashtag, and seeing all the pop-ups of here's what's trending now on Twitter, and it just happens to be something that, you know, going on with WWE. It's like, just can we just watch a damn match without a combination of pop-up video and shit going on?
That doesn't bother me as much, personally. I mean, and then again, I'm somebody who has the DVR ready, and I skip over tout, and I skip over, you know, I skip past when they start reading, you know, Twitter posts. I believe this is the week they had, Larry King was their social media ambassador.
Good choice there. Not.
I was going to say, that's real topical, and I don't think Larry King knows a wrist lock from a wrist watch, even if he's had wrestlers on his show. It's, you know, that added absolutely nothing. So, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, just an idea with this social media thing. Like, here's an idea for Vince. How about you grab some of your former talent, like guys that are either retired or not doing... Oh, you son of a bitch.
That's Vince wanting to hear your idea. Anyway, but no, Shane's got a point. Why couldn't we get a couple of the retired guys, or get one of the backstage interviewers, say, since, you know, if Josh isn't at the table, have him tweeting during the evening, or Stryker tweeting during the evening. Hell, Lawler could be tweeting from home. He should be watching the show with his feet up. I like that idea.
Of course, with the steak and baked potato.
Now, I have a question for you. Speaking of Josh Matthews for a second.
Yes.
What's the deal with this whole ripping of Josh Matthews right now?
I haven't figured it out yet, but it's just this huge platter of ribs that's been going on. Starting, you know, first of all, just the fact that Road Dogg, you know, picks him apart every week on Are You Serious? Then Vince, in a... I think it's a website exclusive interview that he did with Matt Stryker. On Raw Active, where they made a crack about Josh Matthews has got to go. And
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine. We're talking about about the persecution of Josh Matthews.
Oh dear gosh. I feel sorry for him. I mean, I'm like, with Josh, I saw a really talented kid that could do interviews and stuff like that. Then you put him on Are You Serious with Road Dogg and the Triple H puppet. That's like, oh man.
Well, we were joking about that, the fact that Road Dogg tears him apart on Are You Serious to begin with. It doesn't help. I think they put some of his tough enough stuff on Are You Serious just to pick on him, which wasn't right, because, you know, he looked ridiculous back then. I don't know what they've got against him. Maybe they're just picking on him to chase him away from the table. And can I hope to put Matt Stryker there?
Josh Matthews has become the early version of Michael Cole.
Yeah, apparently every organization needs a chew toy. So now it's Josh's turn. Since, unfortunately, we can't pick on Michael Cole anymore.
And it's over, pretty much, the Michael Cole experiment.
Yes, thank God. That has been pretty much confirmed. We are not going to have to deal with heel Michael Cole anymore. So, yes, I'm going to take a moment here.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
That might be a little excessive, but the fact that I don't have to mute my television anymore.
Your mute button's sad.
My mute button is relieved. It's sick and tired of having to be pressed every week. For nearly 2 years. But, you know, all in all, Raw was more or less an unremarkable show, so probably deserved its rating. But I don't think WWE should panic. As Jason said, right or wrong, NFL still pulls ridiculous numbers. I think they pulled like an 11 share Monday night.
Huge. Unbelievably big.
So, you know, they're already going to be pulling 4 or 5 times what WWE pulls even on their best weeks this year. And having to fight Monday Night Football, having to fight brand new fall shows. Vince, you're not going to win that one. Yes, you have new content every week, and I'm proud of you. But, so he's going to, so this State of the WWE address that he's going to do next week is probably going to lower the boom on AJ and probably get her out of her seat as the general manager of Raw. But I don't see anybody really in line to take the GM's place unless they want to put the laptop back out there, Shane.
Oh, dear God, please don't do that.
You keep forgetting.
They can't really do that, can they? Sorry to cut you off, Jace, but it's like they can't really do that, can they? Because they revealed who the anonymous GM was. So unless you want to get Hornswoggle out there doing his little dance, going, "How you going?" It's like there's not really any point. Like we've all heard the rumor that apparently Vince was only going to use AJ and Booker T for a short while so he could get this one big name to come in and run both shows. Whether he's done that now, I'm not sure, but last I heard, apparently they nixed the idea and were happy to stick with AJ and Booker, so I don't know.
You were going to say, Jason?
I was going to say, everyone keeps forgetting Ric Flair, thank you very much. I do not be surprised if you see Ric Flair on TV next week.
Well, it's just a matter of can he do that? Given the lawsuit that's still pending, I realize that Flair's not under contract, but still.
Don't know, but they got it. I don't think the AJ experiment necessarily has failed. I think that, you know, it has led to the whole Daniel Bryan Kane comedy gold over the last few months. You know,
mm-hmm.
Just me.
No, I agree. It's been comedy gold. I mean, when Brian met Kane, that was friggin' hilarious. For anyone that didn't catch that one, it was they revamped what they did with during when WrestleMania Goes Hollywood with Angle and Christy Hemme.
Yeah, we talked about that last week's show with the Kane and Bryan very not PG segment in the diner.
I think the only way they got away with that, because it was two guys and not like a guy and a girl, that way it would, you know, it wasn't trying to be homosexual, but it was like, well, it's not a guy and a girl, so technically it's still kind of sort of PG, like two guys just kind of talking or whatever. I don't know what the justification was.
Well, you've got two guys, and so doesn't that make it, not to sound not politically correct, but doesn't that make it worse?
Not necessarily. I'm sure if we went back through the books, there's probably been a lot of similar situations that we may not have caught on to as youngsters watching this stuff.
Well, the knife sticking up in Kane's dinner didn't help either, so just wanted to point that out. Oh, goodness. So, here's hoping that WWE's not panicking just yet. They shouldn't. I joked with Jason a few weeks ago when the football season kicked off. They had a football game. It was on a Wednesday night, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. You called me and told me that there was a football game on, and I said, but it's Wednesday. And you said, but I'm watching football. And I said, yes, but it's Wednesday, and you don't watch football on Wednesdays. Just like up until this past Wednesday, you didn't watch wrestling on Wednesdays. At least I cannot recall when wrestling was aired on a Wednesday night, unless it was a special occasion. But it looks like WWE has gotten their new show off the ground. Shane, were you able to see it? Do you get it out there?
Are you talking about Main Event?
I am.
Yes, actually I did, and I absolutely loved Punk vs. Sheamus. That was probably one of the best matches I've seen. And granted, the Sheamus address at the end was very brilliantly done. But yeah, definitely a great match, and a lot of other great matches were on there. Although we get it over here on Thursday, so.
Okay. Tyler, did you get to see it?
Yeah, I got to see it, and I actually saw it on WWE.com, I think, because it worked that day. But the only thing I'm afraid of is, since that they're getting to a point where they have so many shows, that I'm afraid Main Event's going to end up becoming like the number three or the number four show, where at first they're going to start strong like they tried to with, I forgot what show it was, like similar shows of Velocity and stuff like that, where at first they started strong and they featured all the main stars on it. And then as time goes on, we're going to see just like the lower card guys, and it's become like a number three, even a number four show, depending on how the Saturday morning show goes. And it's just, that's the one thing I'm afraid of, is they already have the issue where Raw is not just Raw. Raw and SmackDown are almost crisscrossed, because they're having, you know, managers come onto both shows and superstars coming onto both shows, which they've had for years. But there's no reason, I think, to have all these shows, which is just, it's going to end up being to where they're going to end up starting off real strong just to get this thing off the ground. And then after a while, it'll just be, hey, let's stick those tag team matches on that show so we can make more room for some crap on the main shows. That's what I'm afraid is going to happen.
No, I see your point, because that's kind of what you're probably thinking of, superstars specifically, because that's what they did. They had a lot of names to start, and then it just kind of degenerated until it completely fell off of TV.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the thing. It's like when you watch the opening at first, when the show first started, it was had like a picture of The Undertaker and all these stars that just showed up on the first few shows, and then after a while they killed that intro and just changed it around, because The Undertaker doesn't really appear on TV much at all, but, you know, none of the big stars really appear on that show anyways.
So, and to that, Jason, if you got to see it, what did you think of the video packages that they built for CM Punk and Sheamus?
Unfortunately, I did not. However, and yes, you could say bad panelists. However, What I like about this, and you talked to me about the video packages here, mm-hmm. is that they're giving the matches more importance here, like that they mean something, if you understand what I mean. Like they sort of a bigger fight feel. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Kind of.
But what I'm interested in is that now, how many different shows does WWE have now? Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, Superstars, NXT, and Saturday Morning Slam, right?
Yep.
Is that correct?
Six shows.
Doesn't this, to me, sound like a place for the new talent initiative to go into effect, where you have, and Tyler, you're exactly right, where you're going to have, maybe you bring up people like people who are down at FCW and bring them in and have those places showcases for these people. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what NXT and Superstars are supposed to be. Main Event, the implication is that we're going to see names on there a lot. And then you have Saturday Morning Slam, which you've got to have at least a name, even though you could probably just throw in any old match and then have names in the video packages that bracket the show. Then you have all your names on Raw and SmackDown, which, to Tyler's point, I think WWE has finally acknowledged the fact that while they would love to have brand separation, you have kids that go to these shows looking for certain guys who don't work those shows. And it's not that it's not a situation where people are going to get their money back, but kids get disappointed real easy, then you lose business. You know how this plays. So, with all this content and the fact that WWE has not, you know, has only had to deal with dealt with more voluntary releases, has not really, you know, the only person they've kicked out is AEW, and really that wasn't much of a loss. They've got all this space to showcase everybody on their roster, which I would hope they would do. Plus, have lots of avenues for anybody who is ready to come to TV. They can put them in any of these six shows. They can sneak them onto an internet show. They can, you know, they can try a whole bunch of things with somebody before they graduate to Raw or SmackDown. It's a really nice arrangement. This is a good time to be a superstar, not a diva, but a superstar in the WWE. There's so many opportunities out there. This is a good thing.
This is an absolute. Go ahead, Sean.
Shane.
Sean? What's going on?
Shane, sorry, it's been a long day. I apologize.
That's all right. All I was gonna say was, Nikki, it's not actually a hope, it's a need. WWE needs this because, like, they've got guys now that are coming to the ends of their careers, in like the last year or so, or the last year or two of their careers. So they need to start building up people, or otherwise we're just gonna get a bunch of mid-carders that are going to get rushed in, and then Vince is just going to be like, oh shit, what have I done?
He's, you know,
chaos.
Vince likes his money. Well, he needs to put his money where his mouth is and start getting some more boys elevated. With Randy Orton's track record keeping him out of the main event, with John Cena banged up beyond belief, with Kane and Daniel Bryan in the tag division right now, with Punk as their top champion, but, you know, with potential for burnout, something that I've, you know, that's something that there was a bit of a worry about. You know, we've got some guys. Then we've got these guys that are pretty much on the cusp of coming up. We've got Ziggler running around with the Money in the Bank briefcase. We've got Cody Rhodes is just this far from coming back out. They've got Miz, who they could bring back up to the main event picture. I'd like to make a case for Kofi Kingston, but I'm worried that the ship has sailed on that. You know, we've got, you know, we've got Sheamus. That's a good thing, but that's only one guy. We need like three or four more guys to get this main event in gear.
Yeah, exactly. Like what they've got with Ryback right now, that is brilliant. Like, they're building him up beautifully, and I'm liking what I'm seeing with him. Just need more guys like that. More guys that you can market off of.
And I'll tell you what, if, you know, the way Ryback's taking off, you know, they could do, there's so much they could do with him. And, you know, he still seems to be he looks like he's a placeholder feud until Cena's healthy enough to perform, which, you know, right now they're, you know, I know somebody's crossing their fingers to try to get him to be ready for Hell in a Cell. We'll see. We will certainly see. I don't think anybody here was on the show a couple of weeks ago where I made the bold prediction that if we get Punk, Ryback, Hell in a Cell, it still can be booked where Punk can retain, Ryback stays strong, we make a huge mess of things, and people will be behind Ryback even more. If you have a Hell in a Cell where Ryback is not going to be just facing Punk, but he's going to have to deal with Dear Uncle Paul on the outside. And of course, in the course of the chaos and a feat of strength, Ryback finds a way to break the cage, giving enough room for Mr. Brock Lesnar to make a return and help Punk finish Ryback off. Thus is my prediction. Should it happen, I think we'd all be very happy. But then again, I also know that just about everybody who works on the NAWC are Paul Heyman guys.
Oh, yes. I am. I am a card-carrying member.
Would that be you as well, Shane?
Oh, like, come on, you have to ask that. I mean, I can recall a couple of months ago, I was actually, when this whole GM mess was getting sorted, I believe I was the one that put the hand up and said, I would love seeing Uncle Paul back in which somebody, I won't mention names, called me a kiss-ass.
Was it me? Or was it?
I know it wasn't you. Actually, I can't remember if it was... I can't remember who it was. I think it was Jason or Brian. I'm not sure.
Well, by the way, did you notice on this week's Raw the little fight between Vicky and Paul regarding the GM's position?
Oh, yes. I was enjoying that.
Do not be surprised if Paul might get a shot at it, too.
Please don't get my hopes up like this. Please don't get my hopes up like
this. I'm not. I'm just connecting the dots. But Paul Heyman guys, yes.
Tyler, well, you're a Paul Heyman guy, aren't you?
Well, of course. He actually retweeted something. I asked him, I think, if he likes watching Hardcore Pawn, and of course your dear Paul got a little confused, I guess, in his old age, and he said, yes, I like Hardcore Pawn. Oh, Pawn, yeah, I like that show too. Poor old guy.
And it seems that they were having some fun on WWE.com and actually asked my dear Uncle Paul to write up who did he think were Paul Heyman guys. So he listed the usual suspects: CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, The Big Show, if you remember the title reign that Big Show got out of it in 2002, and of course his ECW title reign in 2006. He also lists Public Enemy, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bam Bam Bigelow, God love him, God's got him, Mick Foley, who admitted he was a Paul Heyman guy, Rey Mysterio, after all, my Uncle Paul brought him here. Let's see. Ravishing Rick Rude, another one. God love him, God's got him. And Joey Styles, who agrees.
Oh, Oh, yeah, he definitely agreed. In fact, I've got what he said in front of me.
Please.
Yes, it says right here, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why he's the proudest Paul Heyman guy ever is, put simply, Paul Heyman was the only one in professional wrestling to have ever seen enough potential in me to even give me an audition. He didn't even bother asking for permission off his boss, ECW owner Todd Gordon, who ended up asking me who the hell I was and what I was doing in the locker room while catching me in underwear, changing into my suit. Regardless of that humiliating incident, that was the reason I switched from tidy whities to boxer briefs 3 months later, when Paul became the creative director and executive producer. We used the term booker back then because there was an actual book of upcoming wrestling cards that was constantly updated. The first thing he did was make me the voice of ECW. That's right, Paul started his dream career as a professional wrestling booker with the entire wrestling industry watching him and most people rooting for him to fail, but letting an unknown 21-year-old announcer host his weekly television show. End quote.
And going back to something that my dear Uncle Paul tweeted a couple of months ago, the fact that guys that young don't get opportunities that big anymore. But, you know, it takes an opportunity like that to find the real talents out there. And I could only hope that somebody, you know, that somebody out there is going to get that get an opportunity at such an early age sooner than later.
But if you remember correctly about that list, there's one person who's not there.
And who wasn't on that list? Who did we miss?
No, it's not who did we miss, it's who did WWE leave off. And that was Taz.
But I think we understand why they can't include Taz. After all, he works for the competition.
He's currently a TNA guy.
Right, and Taz tweeted this. Received a link of at Heyman Hustle top 10 guys. Interesting but impressive list for sure, but yours truly didn't make the cut. Oh, well. So your Uncle Paul responded. He said, politics, nothing more, nothing less. Politics. Hashtag FTW. You think when at CM Punk says the lack of respect around here, he's reading from a script or something?
Thus, but you know, that's just the way the wrestling business works, sadly. But speaking of not from the script, CM Punk may not be respected, but he is enjoying and celebrating the fact that he has got a DVD that has been produced by the WWE. To the point that he rented out a theater and invited a few hundred of his closest friends to come in and screen his new DVD. Among some of the celebrity guests, Lita, Colt Cabana, comedian Marty DeRosa, his last name is Compton, but I know him more as Domino.
Cliff Compton.
Cliff Compton, thank you.
He's all about cool.
And celebrity fan Frankie the WWE Clown. Frankie lives in the Chicago area, so I'm not surprised that he was there. Early in the day, while everybody was waiting in line, CM Punk had pizza delivered. What was the name of the pizza place, Jason?
Demo's Pizza, which has the GTS pizza. And it's pretty delicious, actually. While you continue to tell you the story, I'll actually look it up and actually find out what the pizza is. Because they have two pizzas based on CM Punk. I think it's pretty damn cool. I think there's a pizza called the GTS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Anaconda Vice Pizza, which
thick deep dish that you choke on it.
No, it's actually a vegetarian pizza. It's here. Get this. It's a vegan twist on the Brazilian dish feijoada. The Anaconda Vice features a base of slow cooked black beans, topped with Upton's chorizo seitan, vegan bacon bits, dairy-free cheese, chopped tomatoes, green onion, cilantro, and parsley. That sounds pretty yummy, not for nothing.
Actually, I would try that.
Okay. And, wow. But, and the one, the GTS, I think is like the meat bomb, which I'll get to in a minute here.
Yes, it's the GTS. There's so much meat on it, it puts you into the protein coma.
Yes, it's right here. It's off of, by the way, it's off of Clark Street in. But go on, because there's a lot of funny stuff at this screening.
So we get everybody into the theater, and Punk, in a homage to Andy Kaufman, served milk and cookies to everybody. He gets up on the stage and says that he's pretty much forgotten his speech, but thank you for coming and, you know, get ready to enjoy the show. The lights dim, the screen comes up, and what do we get? Triple H is Inside Out.
No way.
Nice. Hulk goes running up to the stage and gets in front of the screen going, no, 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 wrong disc! But to the rest of the crowd, you should say, and how do you like your ribs? So once they got that taken down, which was heartily booed, by the way, they got the DVD up, and everybody got to enjoy the documentary, where any scenes with John Cena were thoroughly booed, and I'm sure a lot of the promos that were shown were heartily cheered. But definitely a fun time for all. I wish I was out in the Chicagoland area. I would have loved to have seen this spectacle. This is something I know I would have enjoyed. I know everybody else here would enjoy, and I've got to put some money together and go get me a DVD.
I believe the DVD comes out this Tuesday. DVD and Blu-ray comes out this Tuesday. So go cop that, by the way. It's supposedly one of the best DVDs, not just for CM Punk, but of all time in the WWE. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
So that begs the question, Shane, you going to try to get your hands on it?
Oh, definitely. I've got a friend, actually, that just went and traveled over there to the United States, and he's actually said nothing but raving reviews for it. So definitely going to give it a look in.
All right. Tyler, you better pick it up, aren't you?
Money's a little tight right now, but hopefully if I can pick up some Amazon gift certificates and through some surveys I've been doing, maybe I'll get to do it. But having a hard time talking. I'm still drooling looking at a picture of this GTS pizza. Smoked turkey legs, sliced potatoes, Swiss cheese, and French fried onions on a cream fresh base. Good Lord.
Mmm. Damn it, now I'm hungry. And I might
That's
even
a pizza.
Get a... Let me see if the GM delivered me one. Let's see. No, sadly, there is no pizza in this email. But the GM does pass along this. Speaking of ribs, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think you guys know. You guys didn't mention the mentoring coach that was following AJ around on Raw this week was essentially a rib over the against the oversight that Vince McMahon was railing against when it came to the WWE. Obviously, this man was not a wrestler. Otherwise, he probably would have taken a locker room full of finishers.
Okay.
Which I think the rule now is that if you see something that feels like a non sequitur in WWE, it's probably a rib on somebody or something. So, to that, the GM also says, I'm hoping that for the second half of the show, you guys are going to focus more on specific superstars in what you guys have been jokingly calling WWE versus their own talent. It's not a lawsuit, but it's definitely a case. That'll give something for you guys to contemplate while we take a few minutes to sell some soap, order some pizza, hit the restrooms. Give us just a few minutes, and we'll come back and we'll discuss what the GM's talking about.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking. The pennant chase is on, and nobody covers baseball like CLW 83 Network's Touch 'Em All. Join Jim William and a panel of baseball pundits for analysis and insights on all things Major League Baseball, from the latest news to thought-provoking discussions. If you want to truly cover all the bases on the road to the Fall Classic, you have to Touch 'Em All every week in September and before every round of baseball's postseason this fall on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in. Williamswear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Hi, this is VRM, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in. How appropriate! The show ended with
People Power!
And welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I'm here with with Jason Block and Shane Beeman, and Tyler Brown had to excuse himself for the moment.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Will you tell Tyler that I don't want him back? So we brought in somebody to take his folding chair, and that would be Brian Henniger.
Hello. How are you doing, my good friends, today?
We're doing well. We're in a lot better shape than what seems to be going on with WWE talent. We've got multiple cases of individuals that are retired, released, or between deals. That WWE is trying to negotiate, but you know, things are just falling through left and right. I have a few specific examples, and I'm going to start I'm going to start with somebody we talked about last week, and that was Kelly Kelly. Now, the mood that we were talking about is pretty much, you know, goodbye, good riddance. But apparently, there was a lot more to this than I thought. What had happened was that Kelly Kelly was offered a long-term contract extension, and she had been asking for time off, and she was trying to pursue some other endeavors, including working an advertisement during an advertisement campaign shoot last Thursday for Let It Fly Energy, an energy drink line, she received a text message from the evil Dr. Levesque. He informed her that by the terms of her contract, she needed to have a calendar that she planned to sell on her official website approved by the company, since there were previews of the pictures where they were just maybe a little too revealing for the PG crowd. And she said no, because she was looking at these other projects, so WWE kind of dropped her like a hot potato. Or hot tomato, depending on who you ask.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some of her hesitance for signing a long-term deal is because of her health. Now, mind you, we were talking about how younger people do not get opportunities. Kelly Kelly got opportunities. The fact that she was actually on TV at 19, I believe, when she started as the most uncomfortable exhibitionist dancer I have ever seen.
I was there for that live.
I'm sorry.
I was there for episode 1 in Trenton.
So you got to see the zombie, and you got to see that nonsense.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was crazy.
This man suffers for his art.
Yes, I do. But yeah, I mean, it is 19. But there's going to be a theme in all this, and it's all about control.
Mm-hmm.
Product control and brand control. And this is a trend, and I don't think this trend is going to go away, but go on.
Yeah. She was just, the fact that she was, she wanted to work more of a part-time schedule because of her health and because of her outside projects, but WWE doesn't see her as a Mick Foley-level kind of person. She can't have a Legends deal. She's only been there 5 years.
If I may ask, what is actually the problem with her health? I was not aware of this.
She's been dealing with neck issues, and she's been seeing her own doctor. WWE's been asking her to go to their doctor, and she won't. She would rather see her own physician. That I kind of understand. But I also understand WWE's side of it when it comes to medical. They have somebody that they can trust. Kelly has somebody that she trusts. Hell, if Vince's foot in the bill, I'd go see their doctor and show them what my doctor says. And the truth's got to be in the middle of all this. So, Shane, you got any thoughts?
I'm I don't know. Like, I think it's like, I think it's a complete joke that, like, with all due respect to Vince and to Triple H and all that, but if someone is doing something outside of the company, like that's their own little project, you can't really force yourself into it and say, well, I want control of this. Because, well, pretty much, I see where Kelly Kelly's coming from. You tell someone, you tell them to get stuffed. Like, this is what I'm doing, this is my business, and it's not yours, so... But then again, you can see it from Vince's point of view, whereas if those pictures were to go up of Kelly Kelly, then that would sort of get Vince in trouble due to the fact that his wife is in politics and...
This is kind of sticky because what we're going to be getting at is the fact that Vince cannot have it both ways. All of the performers that work for him are independent contractors. This is why he pays them a shit ton of money, though, to make sure that they stick with him and not try to do things like what Kelly's doing, and that's pursuing other projects, like the advertising campaign, the calendar that she did with some very not PG pictures of her in some fine lingerie. So, gentlemen, please wait until after the show to go look all these up.
I was actually just about to ask you for the link. I'm not sure, but...
Hey, Nikki? Nikki.
Yes, Brian.
Does Kelly Kelly spell her name with a Y or an IE? I got Google pulled up right now.
Y. And try under her real name, Barbie Blank.
Barbie Blank. But, you know, if I may give my own, halfpenny for this real quick. I can see both sides of it. I mean, I can understand it if, you know, Kelly is worried about her neck. Excuse me. And wants her own second opinion. I can understand having a desire for that. But at the same time, WWE does have good medical people that they work with, like Dr. James Andrews and a few others. I mean, I can understand both sides of the argument, but at the same time, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who to root for in this case.
Well, it's tough, but at the end of the day, again, she's an independent contractor, which means she should be allowed to pursue outside stuff. Now, we kind of touched on something similar with TNA and the fact that they don't want their talent showing up at independent shows. WWE has the luxury of not having to worry about that part of it because, again, they pay their people a shit ton of money. Kelly has pretty much fulfilled everything of her current contract, so, you know, asking for a release, she doesn't lose any money, she's gotten her downside, so she's good. I mean, she could walk away right now, probably not even have to work another day in her life. At 25, that's awesome. She still wants to do stuff, though, while she's still reasonably healthy, I think, is part of it. And while she's still got, she's still got a body to show off. Because there's no guarantee she's going to be like Tammy Sitch, and she's still going to look like that when she's 39.
But that amazes me, just how good that Tammy, if I may.
Go ahead.
I'm amazed at how good she still looks. I mean, because I remember when she'd put on some weight, but dang, she's looking good now.
Tammy looks great. And the fact that I've had the honor and pleasure of meeting her in a saner moment. Just get yourself straightened out, dear. You know, we do want you back. But, you know, Kelly's situation is kind of tricky because she's somebody who hasn't been around. She's probably the least tenured out of the people we're going to be discussing here. So she can't really make a whole lot of demands, even though she could pretty much have been the poster gal for the Divas division. That's pretty much fallen square on Eve Torres's shoulders. So Kelly, unfortunately, you know, you're out the door. I don't think a lot of people are going to miss you. So to that, I'm going to go to our next. Let's see. I've got a couple of choices here. Actually, I'll go with the pairing that we've got to deal with. and that is the case of Beth Phoenix and Edge. Now, we've learned recently that these two are an item. And apparently this all ties together. Beth Phoenix is leaving at the end of October. The first week of November, Edge is going in for some neck surgery and is going to be pretty much on the shelf for a few months. So the timing's actually pretty good. Beth is walking away from the company. She'll be able to take care of Edge, and the two of them can be sweethearts together. Anyway, but Edge,
by the way, that sound you're hearing right now is Trista Timpson crying her eyes out, ladies and gentlemen.
I also have a friend in Ohio who's a huge Beth Phoenix fan who's also weeping for the fact that Beth Phoenix is taken. Direct from WrestleChat.net, the source of all of our news and should be your source for all of your wrestling news. And I shall quote: "There's a lot of heat on Edge within WWE, since WWE pretty much had made another Legends deal offer to him when he worked the recent SmackDown tapings, but he was not interested. He doesn't want to be locked into a WWE deal and wants to be able to do his own thing. When the Fed originally saw that Edge's contract was ending, they offered him a Legends deal similar to what Shawn Michaels has, but the word is the money offered was a bit of an insult. There's also some heat on Edge because of Beth Phoenix leaving. There's a belief that she's leaving in part to help him recover from the neck surgery. Also, there are some people high up in the company that aren't happy about the fact that Edge is making an appearance for Tommy Dreamer and the House of Hardcore promotion."
This coming tomorrow.
Yes. Edge is very excited about working House of Hardcore. Him and Tommy are pretty tight, and it's just a new experience for Edge going to a show and working it, in the sense that he's not going to set foot in the ring and really do anything. He's just going to be doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
I thought he was just there to do autographs, or is he more of the booking area?
I think he's doing a little bit with the booking, because he does have such a good mind for the business. That's just a common belief. That's a very common belief that he knows his stuff. So, he's a good fit to any promotion to give people ideas. But Edge and WWE are gonna work again together. We know this. But right now, WWE's kind of sour. The fact that Edge just doesn't want to sign, because he wants to do, well, again, he wants to do his own thing. If Haven gets renewed for another season, he's there. If he finds another movie, if he manages to get a movie offer, he's there. But he doesn't want WWE saying, no, you can't do that. Where, how much money did Edge make this company? Especially from about 2007 on?
To use the primetime players expression, millions of dollars.
Actually, Nikki, Edge has actually done a recent interview in which he actually talked about that situation with WWE. He said he denies turning down the WWE offer. He said there's nothing negative being said about him working with Tommy Dreamer's promotion.
Interesting.
From anyone in WWE.
Okay.
But I can't really say I blame him. I mean, I've only just recently heard about this House of Hardcore, and I went and checked out the talent, and my God, do they have some talent.
Give me some names off the card.
Okay. They've pretty much got... probably one of the best young tag teams. Like, we've all talked about these guys before, the Young Bucks.
Ooh, yes.
They got Paul London and Brian Kendrick.
Awesome.
Big Daddy V.
Okay.
Carlos Colon, or better known as Carlito.
Okay.
Chris Masters.
Sweet.
Adam Copeland.
Of course.
Hang on a second. I'll just get the roster up in front of me. Bear with me for 1 second.
Sure.
A few young guys that have never been really heard of before. They're from give me a break.
CZW.
Yeah, here we go. Hold on a sec. Oh, got it. Here in front of me. Thank you. Of course, some original ECW guys, the FBI.
Cool.
Doring and Roadkill.
Of course.
Mike Knox.
Interesting.
Tony Nese.
Don't know that one.
Messy, how you say it. Mikey Whipwreck.
Okay.
And with the women, we have the recently released Winter.
Okay.
And of course, Jazz.
Okay.
We have the Steiner Brothers.
Really?
Sean Daivari, Rhino, and Big KLG, which is, everyone else knows him as either Festus or Luke Gallows.
Gotcha. That's a hell of a card.
Oh, and by the way, Sean Daivari, by the way, he actually made some news this week and is actually going to get a big pop, not for nothing.
And you guys are going to have to pardon me because I've got to say it this way. Former terrorist beats up asshole on train at Minneapolis airport.
It's true.
But I got crickets. Damn it. Sorry, guys. I had to say it that way. Daivari essentially beat up an idiot who was on the trams that are at the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport. No, I didn't see it. But, he did us all a favor. It just amuses me knowing his WWE character, knowing his TNA character. It hurts your brain.
And it got him such a reputation, sort of. It got him such good press that even WWE covered it.
Which, of course, they don't mind the positive. Because it's positive news. They're not going to cover. Well, they should have covered something else that was kind of cool, and that was the. Now I'm just going to sidetrack real quick. With St. Louis Rams linebacker James Laurinaitis and his dear daddy, Road Warrior Animal, who posted a wonderful picture, actually it came from ESPN, of James done up in full Road Warrior makeup and the spiked shoulder pads.
Oh, nice.
And daddy in the Rams uniform. It's actually on WrestleChat. I showed it to a couple of guys I know who are longtime wrestling fans, and they all popped about it.
Oh, that is awesome. I mean, the thing is, he's got the build. He could, if he ever wanted to, he could be a wrestler.
And that was something WWE was hoping for when he got out of college. But I think he's going to go make some of his money in the NFL, and then he can come around to wrestling. Or at least that's the hope.
Oh, yeah.
So let me get us back on track here real quick. Our final example is Chris Jericho. Now, this is a man who I still haven't figured out when he sleeps. He's happily married. He has 3 kids. He has a band. He still wants to work for the WWE. And they have been trying to get him to come back. But here we go again. This, again, from WrestleChat. It is believed the deal between WWE and Chris Jericho fell through due to control over when he worked, as well as his activities outside of WWE. Officials were seeking an arrangement where the company would be his top priority, and they would have some control over his outside endeavors. Jericho wants complete control over all of his activities. In fact, Jericho was willing to concede that he could have returned this month and worked for the Fed. He wants to work 40 to 50 dates a year, including full time for cycles and even assisting in the developmental program. However, those periods would be to his determination and not WWE, which the Fed did not like. So, you know, this got blown out of proportion. So somebody on Twitter said, so you're never coming back to the Fed. And Jericho's like, whoa, that's news to me. They'll work together in the future, but it's just a matter, again, this theme, and the theme repeats, control. Shane, we've got a guy here who is willing to, is offering so much and could do so much for the next generation of wrestlers. WWE needs to bend a little bit on this, don't they?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we've got Chris Jericho, a guy who has been with the company for years, probably the third longest guy that's there at the moment. And yet Vince McMahon can't see where Jericho's coming from with this. I mean, Jericho's not exactly a spring chicken anymore. So when you've got a great wrestler who's offering to help build up these young guys, which Vince needs, you'd think Vince would say, okay, I think I can bend a little bit to this. But, of course, Vince McMahon, with the biggest grapefruits in the world, obviously has to say no.
Which leads to my next part, Brian. Given all the activities we've seen Jericho do up to this point when he's away from the company, game show host, Dancing with the Stars, I Love the 80s, and his band, he's not going to do anything that's going to embarrass the company. So what's the problem?
I think the problem is the fact that he wants complete control of when he comes back, when he does things, when he doesn't do things. If you're in a promotion where you have to write stories and write storylines far in advance to plan for stuff, and I'm not taking anyone's side, I'm just giving you my personal opinion here.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm a booker, and if one of the guys who wants to work for me says, you know what, I'll tell you when I want to work, and you just write your angles on my whim and on what I say. I mean, that's not what Jericho is doing, but the image is there.
Mm-hmm.
That does kind of make me a little gun shy. If only because it does seem like it's hard to write a sequential story when you're not able to dictate what the story is going to be. And I think WWE just sees it as Jericho trying to pull a Hulk Hogan and get a creative control clause in his contract.
Okay, but sorry, Nikki. I don't want to make a debate out of it with Brian.
No, please.
Go ahead.
Hey, go. I want you to.
But what's the difference between what Jericho is doing and what, like, okay, I'm not comparing him to this guy at all, but like what Taker does. I mean, we see Taker like what? Once every couple of months? And Jericho's, and he does the exact same thing. He picks when he works, he does and when he comes back and everything else. So obviously if you're thinking from Chris's point of view, he's saying, well, hang on, I've been here almost as long as Taker has, so why can't WWE bend to me like they have obviously with him? Or do I need a few more injuries before I can get that?
Well, what I don't understand is the fact that since Jericho's got so much on his plate that he would have most of his stuff planned out so he can give them, you know, he can give them a range. He can give them the times that he's going to be available. Now, granted, there's going to be, you know, I think WWE might be planning for a situation that if they have a major face or heel go down with an injury, they can't just pick up the phone and say, hey, Chris, drop what you're doing. We need you right now. And Chris is going to say, I'm sorry, man. I'm in England getting ready for a Fozzy concert. You know, I told you I'm not going to be back till June.
You were talking about the the whole thing about the control thing is really bizarre to me, especially with somebody who, like Triple H, for example, mm-hmm. you know, who actually has, I think, a better understanding of the wrestling guys than say Vince McMahon does. And this whole Chris Jericho thing is insane because you're absolutely right. You've got a pretty much planned out schedule, and he's willing to do it. And especially with the thin roster the WWE is right now, he's willing to say, "Here, I'm willing to impart my wrestling acumen on you. Okay, here, take my knowledge." And they say no. How fucked up is that?
That one I can answer. It's because for some reason Hunter has never liked Jericho.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
No, just
I'm just saying, Jericho's never beaten Triple H except for one reverse decision that I'm aware of. So, but again, it's just the silly thing, the fact that Jericho could probably tell them, you know, look, I'll make myself available for the Rumble to Mania corridor. But I want to be out by May 1st because I want to do this reality show, or I want to tour with Fozzy, or I want to get back in the studio, or somebody's got this awesome project that I want to get my hands on. This is how long I'll be gone. You know, I'll come back in, say, right after SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And work till Survivor Series. And, you know, if I get some downtime, if the project finishes early or whatever, I'll come in and just, you know, give me some place to stay in Orlando and I'll go to FCW and work with some guys. How can WWE's really got to back off on their control thing, especially in the fact that they've got to remember that these guys are independent contractors. If you want this kind of control, Vince, you're going to have to formally hire them, and then you're going to have to give them benefits, and that's going to take a few pennies out of your pocket, and that's not going to make you a very happy McMahon. But you would be able to exert the control you want over these guys. Because right now, what Vince is trying to do with these individuals is a little above and beyond what he should be allowed to do, since these guys aren't technically his employees. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. And look, I don't want you guys to think I was trying to take McMahon's side. I was just trying to give my own opinion as to what I think was going on. I wasn't defending anybody here. I'm just saying.
No. But you want to know something? You're absolutely right, though. You're not wrong.
Yeah. I wasn't disagreeing with you, Brian. I was putting a thing out there of just saying, well, what makes it different for Jericho than it is for Taker? I mean,
you're absolutely right. 10 years.
I know, but I know that, Nikki. Of course, I know that. But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, Jericho has been there, like I said, the third longest person, and like, he's obviously got his own stuff going on. Same as we all know, Taker's got his own stuff going on the outside. But what makes it different that like Jericho wants to do his own thing here? Like, I completely agree with you, Nikki, when you say, oh, Jericho obviously knows his schedule, like. Just say when and where, but it still doesn't give Vince the right to say, well, I still want full control of this, because like Vince didn't come up with the idea of Fozzy or anything else, so why does he get control over that?
Exactly. And that's why Jericho did not have his book. I don't think either of his books were published through WWE.
No, I'll give you the name of the company if you really care.
It's not necessary. It's the point is that he deliberately published Lion's Tale and Undisputed when he was not with WWE to make sure that they were the way he wanted them. Because if he had published them through WWE, do you remember the scene in Good Morning Vietnam when they took the news reports from Williams and started blacking out paragraphs?
Yeah.
So that's what I think Jericho was would expect from WWE because of this whole control issue. So it's just something that, you know, WWE really, you know, really needs to back off on. I understand that, you know, they want control of their product. I understand that they don't want, you know, they don't want to look bad in other arenas. They're trying to protect themselves, especially in the case of Linda McMahon, which of course is souring a whole bunch of souring a few of the number threes and probably some number twos in the fact
And she's up by two, but she's up by two right now in the latest poll. So she's winning at the moment.
Right. So, you know, WWE has a point that they want to, you know, they want to maintain control. They want to make sure that their product is the best in their eyes. You know, insert your own joke here. In their eyes, the best product possible. So they have to have as much control over everything as they can. When it comes to the performers, though, they're playing with the rules because, as independent contractors, you know, this should be all on their own time and on their own, you know, and a lot of the stuff is on their own dime anyway. The more popular superstars, sure, they get, you know, they get a percentage of their merch. They get first class accommodations, whether, you know, for hotel or first class travel. A lot of the main eventers have buses, but, you know, this is, and it's stuff that is supplied by WWE. But again, WWE is kind of skirting, you know, trying to skirt rules by having them as independent contractors, so they don't have to pay benefits. They don't have to put out medical insurance. Vince does it in his own roundabout way. But it's still, you know, still something's wrong here. And that's why every so often we get a handful of wrestlers that try to take Vince to court over this. And you run into McDivitt and you're just, you know, you're screwed.
As I've said on more than one occasion, they don't call this man the pit bull for nothing.
You know, but I happen to agree with you. Either hire them on or be flexible. And I don't think Vince is going to be either here. And that's the scary part, especially with the roster as thin as it is.
Between that and the amount of programming that they're trying to produce, you know, you realize that now they are to the point that they are actually creating 3, 5, 6, almost 8 hours of original content every week.
That's over 400 hours a year.
That's insane.
And that's just the Monday and Tuesday stuff. Then you've got these guys on the road, you know, two or three other days of the week doing house shows. And then the middle of the week, if they're not doing promotional stuff, they might get a day to go home. So, you know, you're tearing up these guys. And, you know, Punk made the point. This is, you know, WWE is a machine. You get chewed up and spit out.
Steve Austin said the exact same thing. He knows how the system works. Like, if you're just a gear in a machine, once you're used up, you get chucked out and a new gear comes in.
So, unfortunately, with this much content, they might be accelerating the process and the machine's going to crash.
Hence the worry for CM Punk's burnout.
So, you know.
That begs the question, and I'll ask this question with everybody. Has WWE bitten off a bit more than they can chew right now?
I almost want to say they have, but I think one of the things that's saving these guys right now is the fact that the network is not up and running. Because if it was, that's even more content that would have to be produced. Because it's not the whole channel wouldn't have been just stuff from their library.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's the thing. That's the thing, though. Like we talked about at the start of the show. Like, look what's happening with the 3-hour Raw. I agree with Jason. Like, they've done it at the wrong time. Like, they've done a summer idea in the fall, and unfortunately, it's set it up for a fall. So that's why I asked the question, like, have they bitten off a bit more than they can chew? Because they don't have many top level guys right now. They're not taking a chance on their young talent, and this in turn's making the young talent want to leave, or making them pursue other avenues.
And so now that they've turns us into an even bigger dilemma. If you've got guys that are going to leave and won't re-sign deals because they're not getting the control that they want, because WWE wants absolute control, you have this problem compounded with injuries plus the X amount of content that you're going to build. Yeah. I don't think WWE is going to be able to maintain this pace. We're going to see at least two of the extra shows that are out there right now. I'm going to put this out there. At least two of those shows are going to be gone by this time next year.
Well, I don't know about that, because they produce NXT and Superstars for the international market.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you need to get a lot of things done. You know, it's not just, you know, just for American television.
Granted, but going back to something that Tyler said in the first part of the show, that main event might go the way of the way Superstars went in the U.S. and the fact that it started out strong and then it's just going to start to peter out and could be full on dropped. Saturday Morning Slam, depending on the content, that's another one that they can drop very quickly if necessary.
True, and it's only technically one match.
Right. It's it's one match, but it's a lot of extra video content that they still have to produce, meaning that the Superstars have to take a day, possibly one of their days when they're not traveling for house shows, to go up to Stanford or wherever the location is that they want to shoot this and shoot the video package, because that still takes up a day. So between, like I said, the content, and I'm not just, we're only focusing on the video content. Now we got other things like merchandise, the magazines, guest appearances, shall I go on? I mean, just the fact that, a lot of these guys at least have some input on what's on their merchandise. Go ahead.
Don't a lot of them design their own shirts?
That's what I mean. So just the fact that, okay, you've got 3 or 4 days, you got 3 or 4 days on the road just doing the wrestling part of it.
Now, I mean, to butt in, Nikki, but I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of the voiceover work and a lot of the sound stuff they do, all that stuff they will actually do at the events. Like, they have recording studios, like mobile recording studios, and they'll record a lot of audio and stuff backstage at the event. So it's not like, they're having a day set aside just for a lot of stuff. They try to do two or three things at once.
Yeah, that still contributes to the burnout because, granted, the guys have to be, when it comes to the television the television stuff, they have to be at the arena at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7 or 8 o'clock start time, depending on what time zone they're in. So yeah, there's plenty of time. They, you know, they'll have their meeting, they'll have a meal. If there's facilities at the arena, they'll work out. They can do some of the recording, like you said, and then they do the show, and then they got to get on the road in hopes of going home. Because usually TV is their Friday. So it's going to be a huge conundrum that WWE is going to have to deal with down the line.
I think it's more of a fact, Nikki, that they've just got to focus on it now. Like, I know, like you said, with Vince having this state of address, I think it's time that Vince actually steps up to the podium and says, you know what, we're going to take a step back here and we're going to get refocused and give you guys the action that we've been looking for, and maybe start, I know this is going to sound like an old beaten drum here, but maybe start peeling back on the whole PG thing and start getting some attitude back into the promotion, because then maybe, just maybe, people will start being like, oh yeah, this is it, this is what we're here for, like, more fun.
We can only hope. So I think that's something that we'll have to cross our fingers and hope that that's what's going to be the state of the WWE dress on Monday.
Speaking of attitude, if I may butt in real quickly, I've got some news.
All right.
You guys know that WWE 13 is coming out later this month.
Correct.
Jason, you'll be interested in this as well. They have officially announced the first 3 packs of DLC for the game.
Okay.
The wrestlers who will be in the DLC pack. Okay. This will be available on day one, the first part. Okay, hold on 1 second. Oh, no, he's going to be part of the DLC, Shane. First is called Attitude.
I know, that's what I said. I've actually seen the 12 names that they've put into it.
Okay, well, they are. First will be the Attitude Era pack, which is going to feature Rikishi, Scotty Tuhati, Grandmaster Sexay, Gangrel, and the big Valboski, Val Venus.
Mm-hmm.
The second pack is called the Modern Superstar Pack. And there you're going to get Lord Tensai, Ryback, Drew McIntyre, Yoshi Tatsu, AJ, and Natalya. They're also going to feature the Ministry of Darkness for The Undertaker and 10 vintage WWE Championship belts. Including
nice.
WWE, WCW, ECW, and the AWA.
And I know that hits you in the right place, doesn't it, Brian?
Yeah, I like me some old school wrestling every once in a while. And the third pack, I love the name of this pack. It's called You're Welcome in 5 Languages.
All right.
It features Damian Sandow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey! Antonio Cesaro.
Yay.
The Uso Brothers,
mm-hmm.
and Layla L. And check this out. Attitude Era Legends, Chainsaw Charlie, and Brian Pillman.
Okay, that's awesome.
And also, get this. They're going to include called the 20 new moves you can use. They include the Lion Salt and the Kimura.
Very cool.
So there you go.
So... Well, before we call it a night, Jason, do you have anything to promote real quick?
Yes, I do, of course. All the shows that I'm on occasionally. Of course, this one, the Pixel Nation Holiday Special, which will be about 6 weeks. Of course, Touch 'Em All, Red State, Blue State, still covering the political theater and the Denver SmackDown that we had this past week. And of course, all the good stuff that I am on here. So I again, all that good stuff.
Shane,
and one more, of course, WLTI Live. Sorry, we're recording this weekend. WLTI Live. Sorry.
That's fine. Shane, you got anything to promote real quick?
Yeah, I've got something to promote. Jason Block, you interrupt me again. Oh, I swear.
No, I'm sorry.
No, the dude's Australian. No, he knows
actually,
how to throw
it in. I don't have anything to promote, but say, but except, yeah, guys, I definitely listen, keep listening to the North American Wrestling Association because it's great.
Thank you.
Wrestling Connection. I stuffed up that one.
Let's see. But, so, yeah. you screwed up.
Yeah, I screwed up.
That reminds me, Brian, do you have anything to promote real quick?
Just myself and just this great network. And if you're in the New England part, want a nice horror show to watch on the weekend, Chilling Shockers with Penny Dreadful, check them out at chillingshockers.com. They are Tay Roxors.
And I have nothing to promote because I'm right here on this wonderful show, the North American Wrestling Connection, so which I am going to call it a night. So for Shane Beeman, for Brian Henniger, for Tyler Brown, who is not here at the moment, for Jason Block, for our chief high muckety muck, who's telling me to wrap the hell up, this has been the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. So, ladies and gentlemen, please, I hope you've enjoyed our show, and do come back next week.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.